So I just have you, like, just to the...
Alloway Parks Recreation and Forestry Committee meeting Tuesday, February 25th, 2020. It is 5:33 p.m.
All right, thank you. We'll call this meeting to order, and we'll start with roll call. Lee Bougie.
Here.
Bob Ferguson.
Here.
Angela Kowalczyk-Adrian.
Here.
Dan Fox.
Here.
Dina Mooney here. Danielle Pierke.
Here.
And Rob Atwood.
Here.
All right, everyone's here. Any modifications to the agenda? If not, a motion to adopt.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Okay, all any discussion? Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. All right. Go on with the agenda as prepared. All right. Approval of the January 29th, 2020 minutes.
28th.
What did I say? 29th? 2020 minutes. Okay.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those against say aye. All right. Public appearances. We don't appear to have any. So, number five, information, pickleball court project status, and spring flood preparations.
Yes, just wanted to give the committee kind of a status on our pickleball court project. We are still in the process of gathering quotes from contractors for the surfacing portion of that project, of coming in and laying a coating of surface over it and then painting the courts. We have purchased posts and nets already, and actually that came in a lot cheaper than what we had anticipated and budgeted for, so that's good. Gives us a little bit more leeway on other portions of that project. I did purchase a future site sign, and matter of fact, it came in today.
Hooray.
So we're going to hang this on the fence down there, just so people know that we're putting the courts down there. So that'll be a nice addition to kind of an advertisement of the project.
And to say you might want to go someplace else. You're playing tennis.
So.
Well, not really.
But, we anticipate, after speaking with some of the contractors and looking at their schedules and the way last year went, probably more than likely a late summer opening of the courts. We would like to get the project started, midsummer or June-ish or so. We've got work in-house that we'll be doing. Our staff will be, taking out the nets and installing new net posts and some of that stuff. So we'll get that done ahead of time, and then the contractors come in and do their work with the painting and that. So,
Chris,
yes.
How many bids have we gotten so far?
So far, I have two.
Two?
Yes.
Okay. How many are we looking to get?
I'm looking to try to get at least two more.
Okay.
I have one contractor that said he'd like to wait for the snow to melt so he can come and take a look at it. So hopefully with this warmer weather, that'll, speed up here shortly.
Do we have a deadline?
And that. Not really. I'm kind of, waiting to see what these next two, the timeline on these next two quotes are. But definitely don't want to go beyond, March. On that, so try to get it within the next month.
Yeah, my concern is that with these contractors, they're itching to get their seasons.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
And
exactly.
The quicker we put the pressure on them for a bid,
yep,
the quicker our job is locked in, where the price doesn't go up and we get pushed out.
True. True. Yeah. Or that project, like you said, gets pushed to the end of the year, as opposed to so. So,
these two we're waiting on. Let's try to put a little push on them.
Okay.
So we can at least make a decision on which way we're going to go.
Yep. Okay.
I just hate to sit and pay more than we need to.
Right. Totally understand. And matter of fact, one of the bids we got actually got it last fall, and they are holding that price.
Yep.
So.
Do the Packerland pickleball players know we're doing this?
This project?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep, they're aware of it. As a matter of fact, they had contacted me and asked about the completion date because they're looking to schedule a tournament in July. And I told them, I don't know that we would be done in time, you know, to utilize our site for the July. So, but, yeah, they're well aware and they're happy and excited. So, yeah, they're... An unfortunate thing with the project, we did apply for Schreiber Foods grant to help fund portion of this. Unfortunately, we did not receive any funding through that. So, but we do have the money from the Green Bay Packers Foundation that will go towards that project. So.
Well, nice try. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, sure.
Well, did you ever give a reason as to why?
Why we did not receive? A very vague reason when they do that. They send you a letter that says, there were other things that we funded this year versus your project. So, yeah, nice to see what that was.
So how much are we short?
We're not short anything. We have money in the capital improvement fund.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like how much does LOA put towards it versus...
Because the Green Bay Packers has awarded us $6,000, so we're paying for the rest of it through the capital improvement fund on that project. So, you know, we estimated that that'd be about a $25,000 project, so about $19,000, you know, give or take. So, any other questions with that? Okay. Spring flooding prep. Right around the corner. Last year was March 14th that we had our flood. So in anticipation of flooding in 2020, we have been meeting not only internally with our own staff within our organization, but the greater Green Bay area has been getting together and meeting, Brown County, other communities. So everybody is starting to work on this and starting to communicate the same messages to everybody. And one of those messages is to educate yourself, you know, as a homeowner, property owner.
I've seen it on social media.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And Brown County has a website. I should have pulled it up here, but they have a website specific to flooding preparations, documents, you know, educational stuff for anyone to be able to, you know, look up things as they need. One big suggestion that they recommended was look at flood insurance for property owners. You know, be prepared yourself. What we have been doing with regards to, you know, our parks especially, you know, we've been doing some work with our facilities and, for instance, we've purchased some heavier-duty shelving, pallet racking, for lack of a better term, and we're getting a lot of our materials and equipment up off the floor so that if we do get that flooding again, it won't, you know, less likely to be damaged or ruined. We also purchased some signage for the East River Trail. We're going to install signs that can kind of fold. If you've seen those folding stop signs, these will be signs that we'll place along the entryways along the trail that say, you know, trail closed due to high water, things like that. So our staff, rather than having to take a folding, you know, barricade or whatnot down there, taking that time, these will be permanently installed. They go down, flip them open, go on to the next one, you know, and kind of move along with that and to be able to inform people. You know, along with that, then we'll, you know, via social media and our website, you know, let people know those type of things. With regards to, you know, some of our locations within our parks, we do twice annually, inspections of, like, our outfalls, our areas where, you know, we have water that flows out into the East River, culverts, things like that. So we'll continue to do that and try to make sure that those areas are cleaned of any debris so that, it, you know, when the water comes, it's not acting as a dam or anything to help back that up. So I recently received some information, and this is a document from, which organization? The Army Corps of Engineers. It kind of shows what the recent historical lake levels have been for Lake Michigan and Lake Huron, and then what they are projecting the possibility of for this upcoming year. As you can see, the red line is what the lake levels have been since 2018, and they're anticipating that they, you know, there's a range in there, but that we're going to potentially be at all-time highs come midsummer of 2020. The little dashed lines, and forgive me for not having a pointer, but the little dashed lines here with the dates, those are the previous all-time highs for that lake level. So as you can see, we are now in a time period where we are at that all-time high. We are creating that right now. So, you know, depending on how this the weather this spring comes, we can anticipate, you know, that flooding, those lake levels to increase. Along with that, as everyone knows, the ground is just saturated. There's no place for that water to go. So, and with our situation where we're located, anytime we get a northeast wind, that just pushes the water back even further. So, with all that being said, you know what? What we can do is just try to be prepared as possible. You know, we're looking at spring summer events and trying to come up with alternative locations. You know, making sure that you know we do our best to accommodate if and when you know elections. Green Isle Park is one of our polling sites. Okay, what's our backup if that's underwater? So you know, we're looking at those type of things. Any questions with that? You know, I think everyone now is better prepared than we were a year ago. Because
yeah, we did pretty good last year.
Yes. For being caught by surprise, you know, I think we and our staff in particular handled it very well. But just, you know, even the greater Green Bay area, you know, is able to handle that well. You look throughout the country, there's all sorts of communities dealing with flooding and erosion, and you know, look at the shores of Lake Michigan. You know, they're doing all sorts of things to try to save the land from being washed away. And that same thing is happening on the East Coast.
I know they've had problems with the Fox River Trail downtown, but have we had any problems in the stretch through Alloway?
Not that I'm aware of. You know, the condition of that trail is getting to a point where they're, I know that the county and the Friends of the Fox River Trail are looking at starting to budget for repairs and replacements.
But we didn't have any flooding
but
issues.
Nothing major, no. I think some of the issues that were in our area weren't terrible, but they were more like down behind the old Eves Supper Club area, kind of in that area is where they had some. Our trail, the East River Trail, you know, once everything thaws out and we're able to get out there and take a look a little bit more closely at some of the conditions, we've, you know, had some cracking and things like that that we'll have to look at repairing. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes you don't know until it's afterwards, you know. But, you know, we're looking at all types of things to, you know, be as prepared as we can.
I know this is kind of asking you to have like a crystal ball, but what do you think, how long do we keep seeing these numbers before we start thinking about raising the trail or getting floating walkways?
Well,
I mean, is that even being thought of right now, or are you just trying
no.
to deal with what?
No. I, you know, after last year and speaking with every other community around here, it was, okay, let's wait and see. is this a one-year thing?
So still hoping it's just,
You know, just to see, you know.
It's been flooded at the East River and LOAF area every year. You can't get under that bridge.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even though that's Bellevue side of the river,
That's
pretty indicative of what's going to happen to the rest of the area, I believe. So
if you look at the
trend,
trends, you know, with what we're seeing here, is this cyclical? You know, that is a possibility, but what is that cycle?
Yeah, I mean,
how long is that cycle?
In geologic time,
right? I watched a show on PBS last week that talked about, you know, the polar ice caps melting and all this stuff, and it's cyclical. But it's over
we're
eons.
Talking about a few generations here.
Right,
at least.
Exactly. Exactly.
Stock market.
Exactly. Right. But, you know, to answer your question about, you know, is that something that we may need to look at in the future? There may be things that we'll have to try to do to preserve, to raise a trail. Especially in a floodway or wetlands areas.
So maybe a floating walkway might be more doable.
At least. Or maybe detouring. Mm-hmm. Maybe you got to detour in some locations.
Yeah, move it up the floodplain a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, there's the one location under the Hoffman Street, you know, the bridge right there.
Probably a combination of all these things, depending on which area.
But, you know, that's just the trail.
Yeah.
What about, you know, other park areas, you know, athletic fields, things like that, that you know, along stormwater ponds that are built, you know, within those areas. You know, there's a lot to look at and think about.
Yeah.
You know.
Do we have any improvements planned in areas that are questionable that we need to, like, think about, you know, either planning for them to change with the changes or?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of any that are in our current plan.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, as staff, met with some individuals from the Nature Conservancy and the Fund for Lake Michigan today and talked about projects within the community. And some that we will probably likely look at doing in the future that would benefit not only our parklands but the community. You know, things like, you know, the way you might develop a park or something like that, or underutilized areas, to make them more able to work as natural buffers or you know, different things like that. So, you know, any of our current projects, before we would do our next rec plan update, I don't think really would be too affected at this point. And, you know, and then depending on what you're doing and where you're doing it, you have to abide by all sorts of rules and laws and different things like that, especially if you're within a floodway.
Yeah.
And that, so.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Great questions. Thank you.
Number six, action item, request from Green Bay Eastside Youth Baseball to sell beer at their Sandlot tournaments at P.H. Martin Webster Park.
I received a request from Green Bay Eastside Baseball. Let me see if I can get that. There we go. I did send out the letter ahead of time, so you all had a chance to read it. And they have, you know, filled out all the proper paperwork that they would need to do. I wanted to bring this to the committee, you know, just to get the committee's feeling on this and, you know, kind of give you a little bit of explanation. This would need to go to the village board, so I'd be asking for a recommendation from the committee to the village board. But Green Bay Eastside Baseball is a group that we've been working with this last year. They came to us last year. Their home park, which is Optimus Park in Green Bay just down the road, was under construction, and with the flooding and stuff like that, it wasn't very usable. So they came to us and asked to if we would work with them on using Webster Park for some of their tournaments and whatnot. And a great group to work with. They, you know, not only did they pay the fees that we asked of them, they chipped in and helped do maintenance and all sorts of things like that. to make sure that they were able to, you know, have a good experience with the facilities. Last fall, because of our relationship, they still needed space for their fall baseball league, so we were able to accommodate them down at Riverview Park, where the girls' softball diamonds are, and worked out great for them. So we're building a nice relationship with this organization to kind of fill that void left when our youth boys baseball organization folded. So it's been a really good relationship. So they are asking, you know, they're having their Sandlot baseball tournament. We've already scheduled that with them at Webster Park, and that is the dates of June 5th through the 7th and the 19th through the 21st, and that's just two different age levels. That's why it's two different weekends. And they came to us and asked, you know, if they could get approval to, you know, sell beer at their tournament. This isn't something new. We have in the past had organizations sell beer at not necessarily a youth tournament, but to as fundraisers for youth sports. If you recall, a few years back we worked with an organization. It was Titletown Baseball. We were working with them at East Lawn Park to kind of develop that park. And one of the things that they did is they held a kickball tournament. That, you know, they were able to sell beer and, you know, raise additional funds. I personally, involved in youth sports, have been to a lot of youth sport tournaments now that they are selling alcohol and beer. You know, typically it's beer and, you know, seltzers and that type of stuff, not hard alcohol. But seeing it more and more, my daughter had a softball tournament in De Pere last summer. And at that youth tournament, they were, you know, selling beer there. And it is a good fundraising tool for those organizations. They do make quite a bit of money by doing that. So it does give that organization an opportunity to raise that money, which then, you know, can come back to the village in, you know, as payment to us through their, you know, fees that, or, you know, sport field agreements that we may have with them. So.
Got a couple questions for you.
Sure,
on that.
Sure.
Is the licensing done through the village?
They
probably have to get like a special event.
Correct. They have to get a Class B, I think it is, picnic license, and then operator's license.
So then, what kind of regulatory requirements do they have to fulfill in order to petition for that license? Does any of them have to go through the Surf Safe Alcohol course or marketing course or anything like that?
Yes. Well, for the operator's license, somebody has to be a licensed.
And that person has to be on premise
correct.
The entire time they're
yep.
selling?
Yep, that is correct.
Now, the next question for you is, what kind of liability are they carrying in case they overserve and someone gets in an accident on their way home so that we are not holding the bag if they get sued?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer for it.
I don't think the village has any liability.
If
somebody gets in an accident.
If they issue a license, you don't think they're going to try and come after us?
No, it's just a license. It's a permit to sell.
Okay. But I see people sue bicycle manufacturers even though their husband rode it down a hill at 70 miles an hour and killed themselves because that's who has the deepest pocket in this case. So I have to worry about any kind of exposure that we may have to that.
It's a fair question, but that's not a fair comparison. So
very good.
Talking about a liability on a manufacturer of a bike,
right.
Not consumption of alcohol.
As part of our special event forms that, you know, that they do complete, there is a clause in there. It's a whole harmless clause.
Whole harmless clause?
Yes.
Right.
Do we permit other groups to do this?
As far as other sport groups, this is the first one that has approached us for a specific tournament to do this. But like I said, we have done in the past for other organizations that are holding fundraisers. With this park in particular...
Well, you do it for Bark.
Barktoberfest.
Barktoberfest.
Yeah.
I mean, you're selling...
beer. Yeah. With this, you know, particular park, every park... No alcohol is allowed in any park in Alloway except for Green Isle. You know, the village board has to approve them to be able to do this at that particular park as well.
Mm-hmm. That was the question.
Right, yep.
Yeah, I know we're still in a discussion phase on it, but, you know, my first response is a knee-jerk response, and I don't think alcohol belongs at a youth event.
Amen.
You know, I've just seen too many conflicts. I mean, you already have heated fathers and parents, you know, that are now fuel it with a few beers. Yeah, I don't think it's a good mix. However,
yep.
If you were to pursue it, I would absolutely insist on a couple of warning, you know, a couple of clauses being put in there. One problem, you're done. So one complaint, it's probation. Another violation within that time period, you're done. I realize times change. I still just don't think alcohol belongs where youth sports are. That's my opinion.
There's the opportunity with this group, since they're doing two separate tournaments, to have the second one be contingent on the first one. If there's any problems at all in the first one, they don't get a permit for the second one. Mm-hmm. If we wanted to do it on a trial basis. But I share your sentiment.
That's what I mean, you know, in terms of
the need for alcohol.
It's going to have to be spelled out, you know, pretty clear. And I mean, just to go on record, I think it's the easy way out. You know, it's you know, as parents involved in youth athletics, there's a lot of demand for fundraising. This is a real quick way of saying, hey, I'll work the beer tent. Hey, I'll work the beer. And you make a couple of cans of beer, and then all of a sudden you don't have to sell pizzas anymore. So, you know. Well, sometimes the easiest route isn't the best.
I think your idea of, you know, like one is contingent on the other, I think gives them a good incentive to, you know, be good stewards of that permission. I have less problem with beer at kid events. I feel like it's everywhere these days, so it's not. I don't feel strongly that it's my role to say that is not appropriate. However. That was one of my question about do we let this happen in other parks? Like, that for me feels like a weird conflict. Like, most days it's not okay, but today it is because you paid a fee. It's like, that's kind of awkward for me to justify. But as far as, like, how alcohol appears in society generally at kid events, I don't have a problem with it. But that's a weird juxtaposition for me. I think it's no beer on Tuesday, except today it's okay because, you know, we did the paperwork. So that's my only.
Are people allowed to bring in alcohol or beer to a park?
Green Isle. No alcohol is allowed in any other park in the village.
Okay.
Any other village park.
You haven't had much games. Trouble at Green Isle,
No.
And there's night softball games.
Correct.
Men's league or whatever at Green
Correct.
Isle, they can bring in a cooler of beer.
Correct. That is correct.
So when we allow it at, if we were to allow it at Webster, then could people bring it in? Or is it just for the sale?
As far as this particular event, this would be, you know, for them to sell at that location.
So people couldn't just bring it in.
There would be no carry.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't see the benefit for us to do it. I mean, you say, you know, then they're supporting, they're paying their fees, but they have to pay their fees anyway. So why take on any potential liability or any backlash from, you know, community members who don't like to see alcohol at youth events or whatever it may be? Like, I just don't see what's the benefit to us for it.
They have to pay
their fees anyway.
What do we lose if they go look into a different community for a baseball field that allows them to serve alcohol?
If, as far as the amount of money?
What are we at? And again, I'm not saying that would justify the allowing it, but there is a cost to us.
Maybe somebody else will come in, then that's
who doesn't
like
alcohol,
I think I have that here.
And while you're looking, my other question would be, does our public safety department, police department, have an opinion on this?
They have not at this point, no. Doesn't have the total fee on it. I'd have to get that number to you. It's not on the form. that I have.
I guess
the, our fees for tournaments are $100 per field per day. For baseball tournaments, so
I just kind of want to echo your sentiment where you were saying about that this happens. I've heard this from other parents that it is a trend that at sporting my kids aren't old enough where they're at that stage yet, but that it's pretty common in the Fox Cities. And I don't know how common it is here. I guess I'm
we live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which has
exactly.
been deemed the drunkest city in the country, and it's not because we don't drink. I mean, it's cheap, it's plentiful. The punitive laws are very minor when you get in trouble for an alcohol-related offense. So, yeah, it's part of our culture, no doubt about it.
These are not things to be proud of.
No, I know that. That's why I'm saying them. It's part of our culture, but the question now is, do we allow it in a park that, by ordinance or law, we don't allow alcohol in to begin with? And is this going to open the door to other people wanting the same thing? So now you have to think about the people that live around that park and what that could do in terms of making a rowdier crowd, so to speak. I hate to go doomsday on you, but there are a lot of things that you have to think about with regard to this. If Riverview Park becomes a drinking establishment, I guarantee you those people on Broadview probably aren't going to be very happy. The thing about Green Isle that's nice is it's kind of secluded from the neighborhood. You've got a nice tree barrier there, and you have to drive in to get into the park. So some of that noise and nuisance, if you will, is mitigated by that. Some of these other parks are literally in people's backyards, so that's something that we have to really think about.
What are the hours? Do you know what the hours that they would be holding games? Because we already
they've on their form they would start 5 o'clock Friday, ending time 7 o'clock Sunday for the tournament, and the park closes at 10 p.m. each night. So there are lights on those fields, so they would be able to play after dark. Yep.
The good news is we have time to digest that and think about it. Because they would not have to go... I would think May is the latest they'd have to get to the board to get a vote out of it, right?
And I've got it on the agenda for...
For next month.
Next week.
They need time to recruit volunteers and get all their logistics in place if they're going to have a tent for it and stuff. So yeah, they probably have more of a timeline and urgency than we do.
Any other discussion? Anybody wants to make a motion? Discussion.
I'll make a motion to approve their request with the contingency that if there are any incidents during their first weekend of tournament, that the permit is revoked for their second weekend of tournaments.
Okay.
Yep,
I thought you were going to say something
profound. Yeah, I do. Oh. After a second, there's a second. So, would anybody care to second that motion? Can I second a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll second the motion. For these tournaments, are they just within their own league that they have the tournament, or are they inviting other outside groups in for the tournament.
This particular tournament, they invite other teams from outside the area. So there would be people from, or teams from, you know,
and
outside
the remake. And if we allow it this year for this tournament, they have to come back next year once again for the same permission.
Correct. They would need permission from the village board annually because of needing to get that.
Does the committee have to make the recommendation again in the following year since they've already received the license once the precedence is set?
Right. They wouldn't have to. Correct.
Unless we set it only for this year.
Yeah.
Because I would look at this as like a trial.
They're guinea pigs. It's guinea pig. I mean, it is. I mean, it's the first time we've done it. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so the motion is to approve with the first tournament to is approved, but the second tournament is pending no incidences at the first.
That would be my motion.
So all those in favor say aye.
One second before we take it to that vote. Do you think a DDO officer present would be wise?
That could be a recommendation.
I know in any of the other events that we've done in the past, you know, security is an issue when art is required when alcohol is being sold.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say if this isn't to keep piling on emotions, so I apologize, but if we do move forward with that, I would like to see a DEO officer. Mm-hmm. Is that right? DEO?
Yeah. Well,
DEO?
Yeah.
An officer on duty, and the cost of that officer is at their expense.
I think that's a good idea because otherwise you're talking about would you have any problems? Well, how are we supposed to know? Because they're going to keep that pretty hush hush because they're contingent, you know.
Yeah. Have to be like the guy up here snowplowing. Yeah,
that was pretty awesome.
Is that okay?
I'll amend the emotion.
Okay. Someone tried to rob a guy.
Pulled
a gun on him and took off running.
Okay, so we have a motion.
Can we get all the
and a second?
Yeah.
But then we have an amendment to the motion, so we need an amended second.
I'll second that amendment. Okay. Any other discussion?
I have one more question, just making sure. So do we need to add an amendment that says this is a one-year thing and or that's implied?
Why don't we put that in there to be revisited year after
I can list that as part of that recommendation going to the board as bullet points. This is what the committee has recommended.
They have to understand that we've got to cover our bases.
Yep.
If they're wanting to repeat this next year, they would have to come back through the Park and Forestry Committee first with a recommendation to the village board.
So we still want to have it pending that first week.
Yes.
Okay.
It's conditional on the first weekend, they must supply a law enforcement officer at their cost, and they have to be revisited by this committee the following year. Does that sound right?
ABC.
Annual approval?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you want to say something? Okay. I was going to say.
I don't know which way I'm going with
this. Yeah,
they go
out
of there now, you know, at ridiculous speeds. So
I'm close by too. I'm with you.
Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed, say aye.
Aye.
All right, so the motion passes.
4-3.
4-3.
Thank you.
To the board.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
That's a recommendation to the village board. So,
yes,
no, thank you for that. And I we'll let you, committee, know what the board decides as well.
Right. So. Okay.
Thank you.
Item 7, discussion, committee electronic document calendar sharing.
This was one of the items that was brought up at last meeting. Danielle had brought it up with regards to ways that the committee can help staff on projects and whether that's having an electronic location such as a Dropbox, or Google Docs or whatever, that we could share information back and forth, and then maybe have an electronic calendar that everybody could be part of. I talked to Debbie a little bit about it. She gave me some information on open meetings laws, which was great reading. and then I spoke with the League of Wisconsin Municipalities to legal staff there. They strongly discourage any committee or board of doing anything along that lines where there's a potential for a walking quorum with that communication back and forth. They were saying that anything like that, could almost be considered an open meeting and need to be posted and that. Unfortunate, because I really appreciate the being able to
communicate individually.
Yeah,
we do get emails. I was trying to streamline.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Understanding we weren't.
One suggestion.
Elected,
right. Yeah. One suggestion was, we just continue to kind of work one on one, and then bring into the committee and those type of things. Another suggestion, and this has been brought up in the past, but creating something like a friends group. Of that could, outside of this committee, could be working on things like that. Is there enough need or want in this community to start a friends group of the parks or something along that lines? With friends groups, if they become a 501c3, then there's another avenue for funding sources, things along that lines. Makes it a lot easier for certain funding aspects. I think, Angela, you brought it up a few years back.
Well, for the East River, a friend of the East River.
Right.
Because the work I was doing along East River, it would have been great to have a friends group.
Right, exactly. And I,
he burned.
A perfect example is Friends of the Fox River Trail. They're a friends group that, they do a lot of legwork, for projects and things like that for that specific entity, but it's an option. Something I was talking to Trevor Fuller about it, and he and his wife are getting more and more involved with the Friends of Fox River Trail, and he thought, hey, that would be a great thing. And are there others within the community that might think the same way? Mm-hmm. And maybe don't want to get involved at this level, but more of that hands-on type of level. So, So after digging into it a little bit more, just wanted to kind of bring that back. And, still would appreciate any help individually on any of the projects.
Didn't solve the problem.
No,
we just
no.
contained it. Yep, fair.
And that. So, but no, thank you all. Thank you. I appreciate that. So.
All right, item number 8, discussion, perks, maintenance, operation.
Not a whole lot difference from last meeting as far as what our staff's doing. Still in the midst of tree removals. We are also, prepping for flooding for the spring, doing a lot of work, like I said, with shelving and getting stuff, put in locations. Matt's going to go down and all of his camp stuff that he has stored at Green Isle Park, he's going to move it up to the community center as a just in case. Their camp doesn't start till June. Might as well get it out of harm's way as a just in case. So doing some of that work, just making sure that we're as prepared as we can be. Staff's also doing, you know, equipment maintenance, getting ready for spring and summer. Before we know it, grass will start growing. We'll have to be out there mowing. So, you know, just working on those things and getting prepped for, you know, spring season. Can't believe it's March already. And, yeah.
The decision was made not to put up the rink, I'm assuming?
Correct. It the ice rink, unfortunately, we, you know, did hit a little bit of a cold spell, but then it turned around and got warm again. And now we're, you know, mid-February is kind of that cutoff date. You know, you can feel what that sun's like. Mm-hmm. It could be 20 degrees outside with that sun shining, and it's melting ice. So, you know, unfortunately, unable to have a rink up this year. I don't know of any community that really had anything going that was a natural park type of a rink. You know, Titletown District had theirs, but they've got chillers, so they can, you know, make, they could make ice in the summer if they wanted to. But yeah, unfortunately, you know, the way the weather was this year, just not conducive to that opportunity.
What about lighting? We've talked about it, and it's been in the budget, and I think you said a few meetings ago that we ordered some.
We have not ordered the lighting yet.
Okay,
we've got I've got those numbers and stuff in my office, waiting for my one of my staff to get back from vacation, and we're going to get on top of that because it's we're also ordering lighting for this location as well.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to kind of condense or combine those to get a better price. So,
where are we with the park fitness equipment discussion?
Ah, good question. I did look into the Humana funding, and the only thing I found with Humana was a grant cycle, you know, application. And I believe that it had to be done in January or December. We unfortunately missed that deadline for this year for them. But you know, with regards to, you know, where the committee might want to go forth or the community wants to go forth with that, I think that that definitely would be something maybe to bring up when we get into our talks about capital improvements for the next, you know, a few years, or even the updates to the capital at the comprehensive outdoor rec plan. You know, as rather than maybe throwing this in there and that in there, you know, are we sticking to what our plans are?
Okay.
And, you know, where does that fit in?
And, all right.
You know,
thanks. I apologize. I just realized I thought we were on the future agenda items, but we're still back on park and maintenance operations.
No. So, but yeah, with that, you know, I think that, you know, just
I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
Just to wrap that up, I think there's definitely funding opportunities with that.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
So item number 9. Anything else? Number 8. item 9, future agenda items. Anything that the committee wishes to have on the future agenda?
I have one, and I apologize. I should have looked this up sooner. I know we might have talked about it last time briefly, and I've been thinking about it. The zoning ordinance is being updated. Months and months ago, I was all excited about pollinators and native landscapes, and I think the conversation stopped because we had a lot of things to talk about, but also I think it was against the zoning ordinance. If I remember correctly, there was a comment about that being not conducive at this time. So, ta-da! We're updating our zoning ordinance. It seems appropriate to reconsider since, you know, this is a once-in-a-10-year chance to make it part of the batter. You know, we can change things all the time, but this is a nice time to do it. And I don't know if that's something that we want to talk about in a forthcoming meeting or if we need to bring Trevor in for a conversation and kind of share what he's been hearing from the community from the zoning ordinance perspective on, you know, what other communities are doing, what community members here, you know, are interested in, where their attentions are, kind of where our thoughts are on it, what our concerns might be.
Was it just yesterday that they had on the news about Appleton going no more May?
Oh, did they?
Yeah,
I missed it.
Yeah, for pollinators.
Yep. Wow.
It was going, I think, to the Appleton City Council, someplace down in the valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Appleton.
It was looking
City
at May and into June, allowing no mowing.
Wow. Yeah. I know state of Minnesota is actually paying homeowners to do pollinator gardens in their lawns, like even small scale things. They're doing grants. So it's not a weird fringy idea anymore. Yeah. You know, it's a whole different animal. So, and with the zoning ordinance update, it's a timely conversation point. You know, we can either talk about it and put it to bed, or, you know, figure something out that makes sense for us. So that would be my offering.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to have a discussion on that.
Okay, so we'll talk about the zoning, if it's going to affect the pollinator, and just to have a general discussion on the pollinator item. I have a couple items. I have one item. I'll have to get the information, but there's an organization called the Fox Wolf Watershed Alliance, and every year on Earth Day, they do a massive river cleanup. And I don't know if anybody's participated in it before. Okay. Because I've done it the past couple years where we've cleaned up along the Fox River. But they also have a site usually in Kiwanis Park. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they do Green Isle or not. No. I can't remember.
It's not along the Kiwanis. East River, but it was north of Green Isle that I've done Joannie's Park.
So just to put that on the event on the agenda. Because then I can bring it up.
Of when it is?
Yeah, it's around Earth Day.
Because I've already scheduled it with them. Is that what you want to... You want to know?
Yeah, no, I just want to share it with the group.
Okay.
That they should
sign
up and register to participate.
I can definitely do that. Yeah. No, I actually spoke with them.
Yes, no, absolutely.
Maybe.
No, keep it. I just wanted to share it with the group.
No, every year... they contact me and want to set up a time. And the reason we don't do Green Isle is because the Boy Scouts always do something at Green Isle, so we've, you know, they've kind of moved down the river a little bit.
Yeah.
From Kiwanis to Wheezy. So.
Yeah, the more people you get, the easier it goes. We learned that the hard way the first year. And then today I was at a trail summit for the Fox Cities that was paid for. And they call it Sparked and Sponsored by the Community Foundation for the Fox Valley region. And it was basically a Fox Cities regional, the metropolitan area to work on trail planning, short term, medium term, and visionary. And I thought that was a really interesting term that they were going to use as call it a vision, not necessarily a plan. So I liked that, but one of the people that they had talk was a gentleman who's a professor at Lawrence, and he talked about equity when it comes to trails, and just something to think about when we go into like our outdoor rec plan is, you know, do we build trails for affluence? And then how do we engage with underserved to maintain equity? And then do you call them bike lanes or white lanes? I mean, these were some other questions that were talked about because they said they put in some bike lanes in St. Paul and, you know, African Americans were using them, but the police were targeting them for not wearing helmets, even though there is no law. And then there was also discussion about how you might see somebody. There was a gentleman, he's the park and rec person for City of Neenah. He's like, I go to the gym every morning at 4:30 in the morning. There's a guy going down the road the wrong direction with no light on his bike and no reflective gear. And what do we do to... You know, what are his obstacles to? Because he's like, clearly he's not using it like as recreation.
Mm-hmm.
He's using it as transportation to get to work. So just to think of it in a different light.
Would that be a good topic to bring Trevor in on? from the planning perspective, and he's got a lot more insight on that type of infrastructure.
And this was just like the first time I've ever kind of thought about, who are we serving when we build trails, sidewalks, bike lanes? You know, are we thinking, we usually think of it as recreation, but,
I thought of that with the Fox River Trail, because you have to pay to be on the Fox River Trail to ride a bike, and I've thought that there should be some kind of program for people who just need to take the trail to get to work to downtown Green Bay. There really is anything for that.
Yep.
And then if they're going to ride their bike legally, then they're forced down, Webster, or one of these busy corridors where it's just really not safe.
Right. Yep.
And, like, one of the gentlemen that was there, he owns Wheel and Sprocket out of Oshkosh. And he goes, yeah, a lot of customers, that's their transportation. And he goes, so I sit and kind of listen to them and talk to, find out their perspective. Because it was something that was new to him as well.
So we can definitely put that as a future agenda item to discuss that a little bit more in depth.
Just to, include it or something to think about when we look at our outdoor
On that same line, kind of a sparked a reminder, kind of a point of information as well, that the safe walk and bike trail plan that the school district, the city of Green Bay, county, it was done before I really moved here. So I'm
safe roads to school.
Yep. So there's a working group that's championing that kind of accountability for that program, and I'm sitting on that working group as part of my daytime job. But Alloway's not at the table necessarily, but we are because of our school district, association. So I think there's a lot of things that are, being considered in our community that I think overlay the park system itself, the transportation network as well. But, we've talked before about schools having playgrounds and whether people recognize them as park spaces or school district spaces. They're public spaces, and that's how most of us as humans see it. Is it public or is it not? And I think there's an interesting probably role for us or things probably coming through the pipeline through Alloway or the city of Green Bay or the school district for improvements in the public realm that, we may have an interest in as representatives of park, recreation, forestry, community.
We don't have a bicycle committee anymore, do we?
Nope.
We used to, right? We had
years back. There was a ad hoc committee that was put together for the bike and ped plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so once they finished that plan, then they were done. Yep.
So do we work in part? I mean, I think I've gone to meetings with Brown County that, they've done their regional bike ped plan, which is probably.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how often they look at that or update it or anything like that?
I don't. No.
Because
it's been a while. I know what the Fox City is like. We've done this before. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any requirement to have it. So.
No.
Probably 10 years.
Yeah, it just would be for funding.
And they got funding from the community foundation to pay for this program too.
On a more regional basis, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Good.
Any other agenda items? All right. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right. We're adjourned.
All right.
Thank you.
Adjourn at 6:31 p.m.
So tell me what happened with this person.